This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Temptation Islander Hap-Up over here on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed. I'm, of course, Kirstie McInnes, and I'm joined, as always, by a woman whose blossoms have begun to become fruit, Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how are you?
Oh, my God, I'm fantastic. You guys, we're recording this directly after the episode this week because I have a conflict and I will be on an airplane tomorrow at this time. So the time we usually record. So Kirstie has agreed to stay up late and chat with me right after. And I'm pumped because this episode was crazy.
People keep acting like I'm so gracious recording things late on the East Coast. It is 8:15 for me. Life is fine. It's okay. You're sure. The one who's here at 11.
So. Yeah, but I'm the one who made it difficult. Like, it's my fault that we can't do it tomorrow. So I do appreciate you, like, shifting around the schedule for me. But, I mean, I'm so glad that we didn't have to do this after a boring episode because, like, what would we talk about? But
your upcoming vacation. This was hilarious.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to France, everybody. It's very exciting. I've never been overseas. Very thrilling.
Everyone is going to France right now. It's not okay. I'm extremely jealous. One of my coworkers, well, I guess ex-coworkers, was just there. One of my former staff is there right now, and now you're going. And I'm just like, why is everybody going? I think there was like flight deals to France. I don't know.
There must have been. I have a friend who lives there that I'm going to visit.
Oh, but from that org.
Oh, yes, from that org. No, but yes, she is my friend. That's the one I'm going to visit, Sophie. And so I like, that's why I'm going, but I feel like France is not like the European destination that most people would go to. Like, most people are going to go to Italy, or they're going to go to like England or Ireland. I feel like France is lower on the list usually, but it must be something in the French water. People are craving baguettes, I suppose.
Well, I personally am always craving a baguette. No, my friend posted a picture today in Nice. And
that's
the
where
water,
I'm going.
It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. So you're in for a treat.
Oh, great.
Another treat, this episode of Temptation Island we just watched. What a dream. I couldn't get my stream working for the first 7 minutes. So Maggie's here to fill me in on what I missed.
Insane behavior. I'm sorry. Like, this episode was full of people just like convincing themselves that their behavior is normal when it is the opposite of normal. Like, everybody
here on Temptation Island, nothing here is normal.
Nothing is normal. And wow, are they proving it? Like, nobody is even attempting anymore to act like normal. They're all just like leaning into the world of Temptation Island where up is down and left is right. And mm-hmm. like, I mean, I think we should start out, if we're going to talk about the first 7 minutes, we should start out talking about Ashley in the cell, because
would be happy
he came in hot this episode.
Yeah, you texted me a little bit about it, but I'd love it if you could give me the rundown on LaSalle's out of control behavior.
So basically, he's in the pool. It seems like everybody's fairly drunk. So LaSalle,
yeah, they're always
in the pool.
Blackout. Always, yeah, on this show.
I mean, like every night, I feel like all they do is wake up, go on dates that are pre-planned, come home and get blackout drunk. Like that's the cycle of Temptation Island. So LaSalle is in the pool with Juicy, and Juicy is
Juicy, please. Her name is Madeline.
Mark L. Wahlberg calls her Juicy. What am I supposed to do?
Listen, and I will be taking that up with my therapist in a couple of weeks, but I can't do it. She's a woman. Her name is not Juicy.
So LaSalle is talking to Madeline in the pool, and Madeline is like, if you like Trace, like go after it. Like, don't be so, you know, timid with it. Like, if that's who you pick, like pick her. And like, to me, the way that I read it, it was like Madeline / Juicy was really telling him to like go for it with Trace. But Trace was inside jealous and pissed, shit talking them to Hanya, and was like, Juicy is just so thirsty. And he's like desperate for girls' attention. And he's like in there wanting to talk to her, like not realizing that Juicy is like gassing her up. And Hanya's like, well, clearly the relationship that you have with him is not defined enough. Like clearly the boundaries are not set up well enough. And Trace is like, no, I've told him before that this is what I want. And in the middle of her shit talking, LaSalle gets up out of the pool and shouts to the entire house, I'm only interested in Trace. I don't need any more friends. I don't want anyone else here to talk to him the rest of the time. I only want to talk to Trace. And then he marches inside, and Trace is like, with Hanya, he marches inside. And then they are going off to his bedroom together. That is the clip that we got to start this episode off.
Okay, so this man has been in a committed monogamous relationship for 7 years. Mm-hmm. They have been on Temptation Island for 2.5 minutes, and he is giving more of a commitment to Tracy than he has his girlfriend of 7 years. This man is for the street. Like, as Jacob said last week, like, this man is for the streets. He is in the gutter. Like, he is in his own mess that he has created here.
I mean, I said
this to you in a text, like, yes, this man is attractive, but my God, at what cost?
Absolutely. Well, and then these two girls, Olivia and this other girl whose name is irrelevant, because
there's no Olivia on this show. Stop it.
Olivia was Roller Girl. Roller Girl.
Of course, Roller Girl. Wait, I thought Riley was Roller Girl.
Oh, maybe she is. I don't know. I don't, you know, these girls are so irrelevant except for Juicy, Trace, and Marissa, the one who Edgar likes.
Yeah, and apparently Megan, whoever that is. I don't know. Anyways, okay, so Ashley is also back at their villa talking to Blake, yes, who, by the way, has some truly horrendous tattoos. I know I always like to talk about the bad tattoos on the shows.
He does.
I recommend everyone go look at, I'm so shocked he's not wearing a puka shell necklace, actually, in his cast photo, because it just fits perfectly.
Well, they have to wear those,
yeah, for the mic, you know, pack, microphone. Yeah.
And so I feel like maybe if he didn't have that, he would be wearing a puka shell necklace.
I feel like he brought his own and they mic'd it up. Like, that's how I feel.
I would have thought that Blake was the hottest guy I'd ever seen when I was like 12, because all that a guy needed to be hot when I was 12 was to have flippy hair.
Well, and like, that was what needed. That was 2009, right?
No, it was like 2007. Like the flippy hair.
Yeah, that's what was in at that time, was the flippy hair. As of right now, I guess he looks like Peter Pan. I don't know. But anyway, so he's having a conversation with Ashley, and Ashley is like, I've realized what I need in a relationship. And that's basically for her boyfriend not to hate her, I guess, which, you know, good for her for finally discovering that one. The bar is underground here.
It's very sad. Honestly, like Ashley, it's a sad story. Her story is a sad story. Like this guy just wants to dump her. And honestly, I think that what he really has been craving in their relationship clearly is like a woman who knows what she wants and is not going to put up with bullshit. Like clearly that's the type of person he's attracted to because he's like very into Trace. And it's
that's
just
what
clear
he
that,
thinks
like,
he wants. He probably has taken all those traits away from Ashley over the years.
Yeah, you're probably right. When they met, she probably was like that. And then he like slowly sucked it out.
He sucked the life out of her for 7 years. And now he's like, oh, this lifeless husk. I don't want that.
Yeah, it's sad. And like, while this is happening, like these two women who are irrelevant who get eliminated this episode, like sit with LaSalle at a table and are basically like, we're just mad that you announced that you only want to talk to Trace because like we wanted to fuck you. Basically, like that's what they're saying. And I was like, girls, give it up. So embarrassing.
You
would never, ever catch me begging a man like that. A man I don't even know that is so terrible.
Well, first of all, no, absolutely not. I think the panel of you and me can agree that the Hot Dummies on Islands or Habup would never endorse this sort of desperate behavior. But like you don't know him, and he's in a relationship, and now he has a side chick. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you looking like? They're really here for on a race to the bottom. It is embarrassing. And I feel very bad for all of them because they probably like think that they have like a whole arc on the show and then they're not on the show at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of
for
other
sure.
People.
They think that they are the main characters. Like, that's the thing. I think that the Tempters like really think they're the main characters and they just like simply are not. Like, they just aren't.
You have to have main character syndrome to be willing to go on this show as a single who is going to try and break up a couple. Because I think you have to be like, oh, well, I'm the one who's meant for that person in order to be like mentally okay with the decision of like, I'm going to try and break up a couple.
But how do you think the show is like presented to them by production? Like, do you think that they're like, oh, it'll be like The Bachelor? Or do you think that they're you're here to break up the couples?
I think production says you get a free trip to Hawaii. We'll give you as much liquor as you want. And maybe you'll fall in love. And they're like, fall in love? And they're all blackout drunk this whole time. So none of their decision-making skills are at their peak. You hate to see it. But it's not a good vibe between the two of them. And then... So, okay.
Yeah, I don't know how we want to do this because this is just like so important to talk about as a whole.
Yes. Okay. Here's what I'm thinking. Okay.
Okay.
I feel like we do a little breakdown of each couple minus the bonfires, which we've already now, I feel like, finished LaSalle's and Ashley.
Perfect.
Then we talk about each elimination to really give it its room, and then we'll do the bonfires.
I love it. Okay, we should have probably talked about this before, but everybody, you get all the behind the scenes stuff here with us.
You want to know how a podcast is produced? You come to the Hot Dummies on Island Speed and we'll give you that look behind the curtain.
Okay, I love it.
Let's do Iris and Luke next.
Okay.
Because there's not a lot there, I feel like.
There's like nothing. And I do feel like Luke got here, cried once, and everybody cheered, and he was like, cry makes people cheer. That's what I will do. And now he's just crying and crying and
because
for like no reason.
Every interaction for him is transactional, and he, you know, provided the tears and got the praise. And now he says, okay, I cry, I receive praise. Like, I would say this is the worst man I've ever seen, except for I watched last season of Temptation Island. But you are so right, dead on from the beginning about him. I really don't even, I don't remember any scene of him in this episode other than
the because he was just like crying to the girl being like, I don't know what's going on. I'm crying so much.
Oh, and they're all like, oh, doesn't it feel good to let it? Which like, yes, it does. And we are pro crying here, but not Lucas, not his tears.
We're pro crying, but like in a therapist's office and not Mark L. Wahlberg's office. Like if we're trying to like work our shit out, Like, no, I don't want you to only cry in a therapist's office, but like clearly what Luke needs is like not like praise from women he met 5 seconds ago for crying. And he needs like, you know, like to work on himself.
No, he absolutely, everyone needs, first of all, everyone needs therapy. Second of all, True. Everyone on Temptation Island extra needs therapy.
Yes.
But okay, so Iris, yes. And Iris also wasn't in the episode much, but basically No. She has become free to be the party girl self that we've been told exists for the last few episodes that we've never seen. And that just involves wearing a bikini and twerking a lot, which like, you go girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she's
she's been fun. But like, I did at least get to see like she's like part like a fun party girl. Like, I bet you partying with her like is fun because she is like woohoo. But then she gets in the confessionals. No, but then she gets in the confessionals and she's like, I'm so happy that I get to really let loose and be free. And you're like, girl, let's bring this into the, like, she's just such an, I think she's such an interesting person because like she clearly is like. What? Sorry, go ahead.
I feel like if you told me Iris is like a cyborg, I would believe you.
That's what I'm saying. But she can like turn up.
She can turn up, indeed. Indeed. She's in the confessional like, I can have fun without being disrespectful to my relationship. And it's like, I think you're just saying that because you think Luke is going to hear you say it, first of all. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I don't care. I thought I was going to care a lot more about her at the beginning, but she's giving us nothing.
Yeah, she really is like, go girl, give us nothing on this season. You know what? So far.
Hopefully they get a stipend and she's getting paid for that and I can respect it, but she has not provided me with anything yet.
I think that I see her letting loose later in the season, but we're already like a third of the way through the season. Like, we've almost hit the halfway point. So girl, let's pick it up.
I think Iris and Luke is exactly what you predicted, where one of them will kind of cross the line and then they'll both be like revenge cheating back and forth. And I just think it hasn't quite happened yet. I think Luke is hesitant because he keeps getting patted on the head for having an emotion. So I think that her doing this like twerking will maybe spur him. I don't know. They're gonna break up. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I hope they break up. Goodness.
They've already both broken up with each other in their minds.
Yeah.
Like both of them saw not to go through the bonfire, but like both of them are like, yeah, I'm happy for my partner.
But it's not like Jillian and LaSalle though, like who fully are like, I'm ready to date another person.
No, because they haven't connected with anyone on that level. If they had, sure. I think they would be.
So should we move on to Jillian and Edgar then?
I would love to move on to Jillian and Edgar. What did you think about them in this episode?
So Edgar was like not really anything until the bonfire. Like, we didn't really get much from him, except he did say in like a confessional, he was worried he was like emotionally cheating on Jillian. He's like, I'm worried that these are crossing boundaries because we said like kiss, but I think I might be emotionally cheating on her. And Jillian was making out with Tommy and like acting single. And, you know, like, the thing that's hard is like, I think that she realized really quickly she didn't want to be in a relationship with Edgar anymore, but she's not allowed to talk to Edgar. So yeah, they said at the beginning, like their rules were you're allowed
to kiss. But you could kiss. Yes, that was their rule.
And so she is kissing and that's all. So like, technically she hasn't broken the rules, but like she wants to break up with him and he knows that. So he's pissed, rightfully so, that like, he's like, okay, well, it's not like she's missing me, you know? But I just, go ahead.
I also feel like Edgar is acting, Jillian is not acting, is kind of how I'm feeling about a lot of this. Like, especially when we get to the bonfire, but like she's just having fun. She's 21 years old. She is in Hawaii. She is surrounded by single men. She is living her best life. And Edgar is just not having the same experience.
Yeah. And I think that if she, like, could talk to him, she would break up with him and continue to like have fun on the island. Like, I think that that's how checked out she is. So like, it's hard because, I mean, like, she is not being respectful to her boyfriend, but like, she's ready to break up with him. The way that like LaSalle, I feel like I'm maybe giving him a little leeway because I'm not like, it's not like Kendall last season where he's like, oh, well, I can do whatever I want. Erica's still going to be there. He's like, well, yeah, I'm going to break up with my girlfriend after this, you know, like, so it's like, okay, well, it's just now kind of awkward because it's like you are it's not like you're like torn or even sad. It's like, you're just like, yeah, I've mentally broken up with them like four episodes ago. And now it's like a dating show for me, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like Jillian's on a dating show and not Temptation Island.
And good for her. Because
I
obviously like Edgar and her were not like a great situation. So, you know what? Happy for her. Proud of her.
I think that Edgar is like,
firefighter.
He is.
Yeah. She's making out with a firefighter.
Yeah. And he's like hot and still young. You know, she's not making out with a 33-year-old single guy there. Like, he's like 24. Like, they're both young, hot, making out. And the thing is, like, I don't think Edgar's wrong for what he said in that confessional that again, not to jump ahead to the bonfire, but like, he's within completely his rights to say that to her and be like, why did you drag me here? What the hell? Like, he's absolutely allowed to have his anger, but like, I have complete confidence that if Jillian, like, I mean, I think in the next couple episodes, they'll get to see a little clip, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'll get to send each other a message soon.
And I hope that Jillian and the message is like, Edgar, I'm sorry. Like, I just don't think it's going to work out, you know? So like, because I have full confidence that there's no way that Jillian's going to sit down next to him and be like, I missed you. Like, let's make it work.
I don't know. Because we thought that last season with, what's his nuts?
Thomas and Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, girl who wore a lot of cutouts.
I mean, I'll drag her then. Like, I'll be like, what the heck? But I do think like you said, we're giving leeway because it's very clear that if she could talk to her boyfriend, she would have broken up with him by now. Yeah.
No, I'm not dragging her.
Yeah.
Never dragged.
No. I'm
maybe
saying
mildly.
Like, If, you know, we get to the end and she's like, Edgar, how could you have done that to me? I would be like, what? But there's no indication at all that she even feels like that.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. Absolutely, she does not. So I'm not concerned. I feel like we are on track for all four couples to break up at the end of this, which is the correct resolution. Because if your relationship takes you to Temptation Island, it is already over.
This Temptation Island work?
Not that.
Is it working?
Is it? Well, I mean, it's working in a way. Depends on who and let's, you ask and what they think working is.
On that one, let's bring it to Ash and Hanya.
Oh my God. Okay. So we have been breaking this down for weeks, obviously. Ash is moving away. Hanya is scared of long distance. So he suggests, let's be open. And Ash says, you want to be open? Let's go on Temptation Island and see how being open is and get some TV time. That is what they agreed on. They come to Temptation Island and they agree, explore things physically, but no emotional connections. Hanya does not seem to be having success with any women in the men's.
Yeah, group. I think no like, one wants to have problem. Sex with Hanya.
Like, not one person wants to F him. So he has decided, I don't want an open relationship anymore. Because he is seeing Ash have success with Taylor and it hurts his feelings that he is not having success while Ash is. That's the breakdown. Now, in this episode, Hanya admits on camera that he has cheated on Ash many times before, which, like, I'm not surprised because we found out that he would just refer to them as my friend and not my girlfriend when he would meet attractive women.
Yeah. And also, like, I'm sorry. I think the show was really unfair to Ash these beginning episodes because they low-key made Ash seem a little, like, crazy or like they didn't know what was going on in their relationship. Like,
I've been with Ash from day one.
No, I know, but like Ash was like, you know, Ash is like starting to kiss someone and Hani is not. And you're like, oh my gosh, like Ash is the one who's going to break the trust. And then you're like, oh no, Ash is kissing someone because they know that Hani has cheated on them many, many times. And like, you go, Ash, like absolutely go. Yeah.
So do you think, so we've gone over what the story so far has been. Do you think the story actually is Ash knew Hanya cheated, so they took Hanya to Temptation Island to humiliate him on TV by cheating on him?
No.
It would be icon behavior.
I mean, I wish, but I don't think so, because I do think that Ash, like, at their core is a good person. And I think, but I do think that what the way you described it at the beginning, which was like, oh, you want to you want an open relationship? Might as well go on TV and let's see how you like it. And I do think that they went in being like, the second that Hanya acts out of line, I'm doing whatever the hell I want. I don't care.
And good for them. Good for them. They are way better than Hanya. So I just wish them every happiness. I mean, who's not, but whatever. And so, yeah, Hanya's big thing of the episode is that he admits that he cheated.
But Ash also, we need to talk about the moment that happened where Hanya brought Karina into his bed and said, in order to show Ash how much he loves them, he needs to do that with just one person. He needs to show Ash that he's ready to be committed to just one person. And while he's on the island, he's dating Karina. Karina is his girlfriend for the time on the island. So in order to show Ash how much he loves them, he's going to only focus on Karina. And then we watch them get in bed together and seemingly have sex.
Well, that is how you prove that you are committed. You sleep with only one other person where your partner will see it. That's normal, right? Like, oh my God.
My mom texted me when that happened and said, I'm so sorry. WTF did Hanya just say? Like, what type of mental gymnastics do you have to go through to be like, I am actually good for this? This is correct for me to do.
I don't understand.
Kristen, what?
I couldn't begin to make sense of this because this is not like any person I know in my life at all.
I mean,
and thank God for that.
This is wild behavior. This is wilder than most of the stuff that Luke has said and what LaSalle did at the beginning of the episode. Like, this sentence is so backwards.
Like I am not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I cannot diagnose anyone, but this is psychopath behavior. Like, I just don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, it's like, what are you talking about? What are you literally talking about?
He's like, I no longer want an open relationship, and I know that now. So let me fuck another woman.
What? To show Ash how much I love them. And to prove to them that I can be faithful to them, I'm going to fuck another woman. While I know the camera's on me.
Get out of town.
Yeah, no words. No words to that.
It's too much. It's too much. Okay, and so over at the Femme Villa, Ash is having the time of their life. They are having so much fun with Taylor. We knew that there was immense sexual chemistry from the moment where they were calling Taylor tender and they were showing us clips of Taylor literally choking them. We've known that they've had explosive sexual chemistry from the start, okay?
I forgot about that, Kirsten.
That lives rent-free in my brain for the rest of my life.
I will never forget.
That's like when I'm like 80 years old, I'll be like, back in my day on Temptation Island, they called men tender while they were choking women. And it'll be like, okay, Nana, let's get you back to the home. Like, enough is enough.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
So, yeah. So, okay, they have explosive sexual chemistry. We've known that. Mm-hmm. And so in this episode, they explore that by having full penetration on our TVs.
We watched the thrust strokes happen, guys.
We saw it happen. It. We saw Ash on top. Her technique was impeccable.
Sorry, and then we saw Taylor on top. Yeah. You know, I don't know what else to say other than my mother watched that. So,
yeah, I think something. It's actually really embarrassing that your mom watches this show.
Yeah, no, it's bad. It's bad. She was disturbed by this episode the same way we were. She really was. She was like, what is happening?
Well, yeah, okay, she raised you.
Yeah, so she said, the last text I got from her just now, she said, I just can't believe how messed up a relationship can be. And yet people think that this is love. I know it works for some people. And who am I to judge? But clearly this is not working for any of these people.
Who am I to judge?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So we watched Full Sex this week, you know,
more than once, multiple times
on TI.
We saw a lot and it seemed like everyone involved was having a great time. And Ash expressed that Taylor made them feel very safe, that it was easy to give themselves to him, that they feel cherished and really good. And in the, we see like cuddling, like in the morning, and they look super cute and loved up. Like I would love if they left together, TBH.
I mean, I don't think that this goes anywhere after this, honestly. Like maybe if they left together, they'd spend a couple nights in a hotel and then be like, bye-bye.
Such a different body type from Anya.
Oh my god,
I can't believe,
like Ali said, fatality.
That's one of the meanest things that we have seen on TV ever.
Like a true fatality. Oh my gosh. But they also like they said like they just feel very desired, which I do think it's very, like, I know what they mean in terms of, like, you've not felt desired or appreciated at all by someone. And then suddenly someone is like, you are amazing and beautiful. And all I want to do is be around you and touch you. Like, you're like, this is amazing. Like, never stop. I don't want this to end.
When you're normally with your boyfriend who literally hates you, and then you have the option to be with someone who is nice to you.
Nice to you. Also, though, like, I do feel like Taylor has not a thought in that sweet brain of his.
Oh, brain empty, no thoughts.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Maybe I should choke Ash now.
He is a golden retriever.
Yeah. And, like,
and I mean that with the most love, respect, and appreciation possible. I'm not insulting him. It seems like he has a really happy life.
He has a Target tattoo on his shin. Which I...
Is he a soccer player?
It's like, huh. No. I mean, I don't know. But it was like... It's like a buckshot, like, Target. I was confused by it. I didn't understand it.
I'm wondering if that, like, means anything. On Urban Dictionary, they only refer to Target tattoos on women's lower backs, which is offensive to me.
That is disgusting.
Really sad. I hope that Dr. Will is offering free laser removal to any woman who has a Target tattoo on their lower back.
You should. Reparations.
Yeah, absolutely. Reparations.
I don't know.
I don't know. Do you think maybe he's like a Sagittarius and that's like a weird way of expressing it rather than the arrow? He has the bullseye.
I don't know. You know, I was like, maybe he like is into hunting, but that's a weird spot to put a tattoo related to hunting, you know, like
where is a normal spot to put a tattoo related to hunting?
Like on your bicep, like on your shoulder or on your chest. Like I feel like that I have people in my family who have hunting related tattoos and that's where they put them. Like your shin is a weird spot to get a tattoo in general, because I'm sure it's painful because it's so close to the bone. So I'm interested in why, but maybe we can look them up on social media and figure it out for next week. I'll make it my mission.
Yeah, that's your homework assignment while you're on vacation.
Yes.
Okay, before we move to the eliminations, I think it's time we take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. And we're back. Okay. The eliminations, they took this straight out of BB Can 5 with the slop vote with the cookies.
Oh, except my gosh.
They had to do it out in front of everyone, which obviously, like, biases the vote towards, like, whoever the first person votes for. But it's fine. I don't care. It's Temptation Island. It is not a game of strategy. I am fine with it. So they showed us at the Femme Villa first. And they're like, it's an elimination. Five men are going home. But the men themselves will be doing the voting for who they want to send home.
This was unhinged.
Yeah.
By production, no?
It was absolutely unhinged, but it was also absolutely entertaining. I loved getting to hear from Evan, who I have never seen before in my life until episode, what, five? Is this episode five or four? Anyways,
yeah.
Never seen him before in my life, but yeah, there he is voting strategically, trying to vote out Taylor because he thinks he has a shot with Ash.
Sure. As Ash is sobbing, by the way. Full sobbing over the idea of that.
I just, because the thing is, I feel like the situation you want to be in is you don't vote for that person, but you know that enough other people will vote for them. So then when the person is eliminated, you can go to Ash and be like, I'm so sorry. I can't believe everyone else did that. I didn't do it because I'm a good person unlike everybody else. Because if you put the vote on Taylor, what, you think Ash is going to sleep with you? No.
Yeah, wild. Just like, I mean, it's not like, like, it's not like a game of Big Brother where you have to work with people. Like, Ash doesn't have to sleep with anybody else. Ash can go spend the rest of their time there talking to nobody. So, like, I was just like, oh my gosh, these people are trying to play Big Brother, and yet it's a dating show, which is hilarious. So, yeah. So
and
Ash
all of
sobbing.
The men share one brain cell between them. So they also don't have any strategic thoughts.
Also, like, Jillian referred to the fact that I think the guys stay in, like, bunk beds. They stay in, like cabin, like sort of, like, multi, like, they like, five of them or six of them stay in one bedroom. And, like, the big beds are reserved for the single or the couple people so that they can bring a single into their bedroom with them.
Groundbreaking, iconic.
Yeah,
I love to hear it.
Very
grateful
smart
to Jillian for the insight. Yeah, they have to make the sleeping situation for the singles so untenable that they will try to sleep with someone who's in a relationship at all costs. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, beg to sleep in
that
a
makes
bed.
A lot more sense of why the women are all fighting for LaSalle's, actually, because it's like, I would like to sleep in a big bed with one person rather than bunk beds. Now it's making a lot more sense.
I don't know why, like, we'll talk about it when we get to the bonfire, actually. So then Marka Wahlberg is like, okay, we're going to have to send these people home, except ladies. Yes.
But first, who got eliminated? So, okay, so Evan, Mike M, who is like Mr. Pickup Lines.
Yes. Brian.
Evan. I already said Evan.
Oh, and
so, okay, Brian, Andrew. Andrew, Brian, Evan, Mike, and Taylor are the ones voted for elimination. And this is where Michael Wahlberg is like, but ladies, you have a choice. So they have three options. One, they can save one of the five men. Two, they can save one of the five men and send someone else home that was not voted for. Or three, they can just stick with what the men have decided. I don't understand why they didn't send a different man home in exchange for Taylor.
I think that they were just so focused on, like all of the girls clearly are friends, or all of the femmes are clearly friends. And, like, they were just so focused on making sure that Ash was, like, not sobbing and felt better and, like, they would be able to save Taylor, that they were just like, we're saving him. Like, of course, let's do it. So I think that that's why, like, if they had thought a little more, they probably would have. But the, like, the guys, like, were like, let's all talk and, like, removed themselves and talked.
Yeah, I think it should have been two choices. One, you swap one person, or two, you stick with it. I don't think just saving a person should have been on the table, just like from a production standpoint, but
sure.
Whatever. Just a little game design for you. Okay, so then they go over to the men's villa and they do the exact same thing with the voting. And did Juicy vote first?
Juicy did vote first, and Marka Wahlberg called her Juicy. But
offensive.
I didn't even write down any of these women names because I haven't seen them at all. Like the nurse got eliminated. I know the nurse who was like, wow, Iris sounds lame.
Yeah. So, Emily, Madeline
is Juicy.
Yeah. Madeline's Juicy. Megan, Paige, and Riley, I think, got the vote.
Yep. Never seen these people.
Who could know who any of them are because they haven't been shown on the show because they go home. And so the men get together and chat and they say, we're going to save Megan and we are going to send Alexa home.
And she was one of the people begging LaSalle to sleep with her. So, you know, I think that that's probably why LaSalle wanted to keep Trace happy. But also, I was disturbed. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, Alexa's beautiful. I'm sure she can get someone to sleep with her not on Temptation Island. No problem. So good for her.
Of course. Like Megan, I've never seen her before. And Hanya's like crying. Like I was disturbed by the fact that Hanya was like teary eyed as he was like, we're going to save Megan because we're the next top model.
Two girls stand before me, but I have one picture in my hand. Well, and that's the thing too.
Literally.
Why is Hanya so upset when he's already decided he's only dating Karina on Temptation Island? So pick a lane, buddy.
I mean, I think that it's Hanya. So he's just going to say whatever he wants to say in the moment. He doesn't care. You know?
Yeah, it's not the best. The other thing too, so they make this decision and they swap it out to send Alexa home. But yeah, I've never seen any of these women in my life, even though I've watched every episode of this show.
Yeah, I mean, like, there were women last season when they did this that got eliminated that I was like, who are these women? And I feel like even more strongly, who are these women on this? I love the fact that they made the girls like do this, though. I love the fact that they made the tempters vote each other out just because it added like another layer of like, what are we even doing here? Like, I thought this was all about the people who were in the relationships. Like, this is an experiment for them. You've made such a huge big deal about it being their journey. And then you like don't even let them pick who they eliminate. Like, what? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, they let them save one person. But like, what if it had been a situation where two of the like people's like Temptation Island girlfriend had been eliminated? How do they decide who goes home?
Exactly. I don't know. I think that probably Marka Wahlberg in that situation, I feel like would have been like, and you can save one more person because they want maximum cheating, you know? That's why this episode was so good. There was maximum cheating.
They do be wanting maximum cheating. You're absolutely right. okay. So that is the eliminations. And then we have the bonfires.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we just do couple order again? I feel like that's easiest.
Yeah, I think that that's great. Yeah.
Okay, so let's.
Ash's clip is, let's do Ashley and LaSalle first. So LaSalle's clip is basically Ashley on that picnic saying that there's no emotional connection at all. With her boyfriend.
She says there has never been one.
I don't understand.
She's with
Kirsten.
Blake, and Blake says, oh, did there used to be an emotional connection and it's faded away? And she says, no, we've never had an emotional connection. They have been dating for 7 years. Seven years.
It's sad, honestly. Like, that makes me sad for her. 7 years of someone that you've never had an emotional connection with?
Like, 7 years?
What?
7 years is hard when the emotional connection just goes away, let alone when it never existed. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So he says, yeah, he agrees. There has never been an emotional connection. And he said that he can't think of any moments where he's with her and he can just like lock in to feel emotional. And that's when you know, like, it's time. It's time for the end of this relationship, because her clip is LaSalle talking to Trace, saying that he wants to take a break with Ash when it's over and telling her that he really likes her a lot.
Like, and telling everyone that he will only talk to Ash, not Ash.
Yeah.
Trace.
Yeah. So like Ashley's clip is him telling Trace, like, I'm going to break up with her when this is over. And she still was like, if we need to take a break to make us stronger in the future, like, that's what. And I'm like, girl, no, he's telling the new girl he likes that he wants to break up with you to be with her.
Yeah, it makes me very sad. They've been together since they were teenagers and they are now in their mid to late 20s. And it's sad. Like, I don't watch reality TV to get sad. And this made me sad. Yeah.
It's definitely better than like what we've seen in previous Temptation Island seasons where like it was sad and also like scary. Like, this is not like scary. Like, everybody's fine. Yeah. Everybody's safe, you know? It's just
You're
sad.
Right. It's not scary. Like, it's just sad.
I want her. Yeah. I want her to want more for herself, you know? Like, she deserves more. And that's what Mark L. Wahlberg was saying when she started crying. He was like, you deserve to be happy. You deserve that. And like, she started crying. And I was like, yes, girl. Breakthroughs.
Like, you know? Please. Love yourself more is what I'm asking for from.
So we touched briefly on Luke and Iris and like both of them in their clips, but Luke's clip is that he gets of Iris is her like partying with the girls, and Iris's clip that she gets from Luke is him like sobbing to that girl on the bed. And both of them are just like, yeah, like it seems like we're growing when we're not together. Seems like this is good for us to not be together right now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Ugh, I'm just like, there's nothing. There's nothing there.
Mm-hmm. There isn't. There really isn't. I hope that she dumps him and I hope that she starts hooking up with somebody on this season. That's what I hope. I don't know that she will, because I do feel like she is the type of person who would feel really guilty about it. But, I hope she does for maximum drama.
I hope all of them do for maximum drama.
Well, yeah, for sure. I feel like she's the least likely though.
I agree.
Unless
I agree
he cheats on her. And yes. I also just think that I think Ashley's not super likely either, but I think that Ashley, it's just because she doesn't like anyone really so far. You know,
I think Ashley and Iris are both just like in their own world and like both have to. I think they've both come to the realization they really need to work on themselves.
Sure.
Whereas I feel like Jillian and Ash both feel like they've done the work on themselves so they can explore with other people now.
That's a really great observation.
That's the vibe I'm getting. Yeah.
Agreed. So Jillian and Edgar's clip. Edgar's clip is Jillian making out with Tommy. And... Mm-hmm. He starts getting upset, but LaSalle starts crying at Edgar's clip.
I don't. Like, first of all, Edgar and Jillian had a rule, and that was that they're allowed to kiss. And so it just strikes me, like, I get that it's still not fun to watch, but I'm like, why are you weeping? I like the acting school come through, honestly. Good job, Edgar. And why? Why LaSalle has never cried with his girlfriend of 7 years, and he is crying over Edgar watching a girl kiss a boy.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, I can't believe, like, he is more upset by his friend, like this guy that he's known for 2 weeks, being upset than he is by hearing his girlfriend say there's never been love in their relationship.
Yeah, I just, it makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
Edgar says that he doesn't know if he doesn't know who this person is, like who Jillian is and the way that she's acting. He's like, I don't know her and I don't want her anymore. And I do think Edgar's going to go back to the villa and start to hook up more with Marissa. I just don't see a world where he's not sleeping with Marissa now.
Yeah, that's definitely coming. And then when they sleep together, Jillian and Tommy will sleep together. Jillian had her hair straightened for the bonfire, which was beautiful. Absolutely. She's a beautiful woman. Great. So she looks gorgeous no matter how her hair is. But the look on her face, like it was like she was completely dissociating. She was like, yeah, I feel nothing when I see Edward. Yeah.
It was weird. I think that honestly, you're right. She was dissociating. And I think that it's sort of what Laura was saying, like when she was on, like Jillian is so media trained. Like I think Jillian went into this being like, it does not matter what I see. My face is going to remain still and like come through mask work, come through movement work. Like she knew, like she knows how to do it. She learned how to do it in art school. Like she knew, but like Absolutely. She really like Edgar's putting his acting skills to the test. And so is Jillian, just in the complete opposite way where Jillian was like, I am not moving a single muscle on my face. And even when Mark was like, how do you feel? She was like, I mean, I'm so sad. I hate that he's in so much pain. But again, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just giving her the benefit of the doubt, but like, it didn't seem to me like she was lying. It just seemed like you said, like she was disassociating.
Yeah. Like it seemed like she was just trying really hard to stay even keeled. Like, I don't, I don't really know. And yeah, I do think it goes back to what was mentioned last week with the media training. I think that's really, or sorry, 2 weeks ago, that I think that's really astute. Mm-hmm. And of course, classic Laura having an astute point.
Right. Classic. So should we talk about the last yes. couple here at the bonfire?
Let's talk about the last couple at the bonfire. So Ash and Hanya. So Hanya sees Ash having full sex.
Mm-hmm.
And Ash sees Hanya admitting that he cheated on them.
Mm-hmm. Juicy. And not
like Madeline.
Yeah.
So it seems like Ash is like feeling very vindicated because they have felt like they've been cheated on, but they never had any proof or evidence. And so they've already distanced themselves from Hanya. I feel like they know they're moving past this relationship and that Hanya is maybe not like a good partner to them. And so they're just like, I feel good knowing that I was right and that I wasn't crazy.
Yes.
Hanya's like, oh, no one wants to see this. I thought I wanted an open relationship, but I guess I don't. And it's like, yeah, we know, but you can't talk to Ash yet.
I wrote it down what Hanya said, because he did not say, I thought I wanted an open relationship. He said, I thought I would be open to an open relationship. Like, sir, you're the one who said like, we should have an open relationship. Saying I might be open to an open relationship is saying that like your partner asked you and you're like, oh, I'm not going to shoot it down right away. Like you're the one who said that you wanted this. I would be open to an open relationship. I mean, shut up.
He specifically mentions that Ash is the one who asked him to come to Temptation Island. I feel like he's really trying to fully deflect and paint Ash as like this villain. And like, I don't think they even had a rule against sleeping with other people. It was just no emotional connection. So he has seen no evidence of Ash breaking the rules. And
well, he said that they did both say this, that like their rule was they can kiss people, but like, or be respectful, but like, I don't think that I want to see you have sex with someone else. Like that would upset me. They did say that to one another.
Okay. My bad.
But
oh, well, I mean,
he admitted that he's lied a million times to production and Ash about cheating on her. Like, okay.
This relationship was dead on arrival.
Sorry, them.
Yeah.
Apologies to Ash.
Okay. Is there anything else about any of these couples that we want to touch on?
I don't think so. I think that we really, you know, we came in hot right after the episode was done.
Hot take.
This is late night for us, but it's just the two of us this time. We don't have a guest to hear their opinion. And you just got a lot of us this time, guys. I hope you enjoyed basking in the Kirsten and Maggie of it all.
Beautiful. Okay. I want to do one more quick ad break right here. So we'll take a break right now. And we're back. And so, okay, there's one more thing I want to do before we go. And it's, we need to talk about the iTunes reviews. Okay.
Okay.
So first and foremost, thank you to Caitlin Ash 227 for writing us 5-star review, Mothers of the Podcast, that says dying at Kirsten and Maggie. We are both mothers to this podcast. Crying, laughing emoji, crying, laughing emoji. Caitlin, we're here for you. We're happy to be mothers to this podcast. The second review, I'm not going to read or dignify with what they said or anything.
Oh, no.
But first of all, this podcast has a very strict rule. We only accept 5-star reviews. So I'm unwilling to accept your feedback if you are not attaching it to a 5-star review. I'm sorry. I'm just not willing to. Second of all, I would like you to maybe take a linguistics class, learn about language, and understand that filler words are part of a conversation and it's normal. And you are a dick. And that's all I have to say about that.
Oh my goodness. I have no idea what they said, but now I need to look it up. I'm intrigued.
Very rude. It's very rude and not respectful. And I just would like people to know.
I do like the filler words are normal. I know you don't want to say anything that they said, but I'm into the term feather-brained because I've never been called feather-brained before. So I most of my life, I get told I'm too cerebral. So thank you to this person for saying I'm feather brain.
I would love to know what goes wrong in your life that you're like, I would like a cerebral recap of Temptation Island.
Sure. Yeah. Perhaps, Temptation Island is not the show for you if you're trying to be cerebral. But you know what?
I would recommend Survivor Global.
Sure.
If you'd like some cerebral discussion of reality TV.
Absolutely. I'm into that for you. Temptation Island might not be your thing, you know?
Yeah. Be safe out there.
I love it. Wow. I didn't even know. I didn't even look.
I know. I pulled it up being like, maybe we got some 5-star reviews. And I was like, dear Lord.
You know, can't win them all. Can't win them all.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all good. But that being said, if you enjoy the podcast and you like our conversation and you want to give us validation to make us feel better about continuing the podcast, which of course we're doing every week while Temptation Island is on, you can go leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And all of those links can be found at robhaswebsite.com/hotdummies.
Yay. Do it.
Do it. And again, we only accept 5 stars. If you have something constructive to say to us, we're not going to listen unless you leave us a 5-star review. I'm sorry. It's simply the way it is.
I love that, actually. I'm gonna bring that into the rest of my podcasting for the rest of time. Like, I'm not interested. Like, I will take constructive feedback if it is connected to a 5-star review.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's been a rule on this feed for a long time since Scally and I built it up with Love Island. And just because Scally's not home right now doesn't mean that we can just trash the house, you know?
Absolutely.
And speaking
of people not being home, next week I am going to be absent from the podcast, you guys, because as discussed at the beginning, I will be in France. But yeah. Kirsten has agreed to hold it down for me while I'm gone. So thank you so much for doing that, Kirsten.
Yes,
and
of
I can't wait to listen.
Yes, I haven't confirmed a guest for that episode yet, but I will do so before it happens. And it will be lovely and we will miss you, but we will hold down the fort. And I know you will do the same for me when I have to take an episode off in a couple of weeks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So Maggie, in the meantime, while you're on vacation, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_. I did delete my Twitter. You know, it was time. Kirsten really helped. She encouraged me. She said if it was not bringing me joy, to get rid of it. And it was not bringing me joy at all. So Twitter is gone, but you can find me on Instagram. I'm much more readily available there anyways. So yeah, you can see all the baguettes I'm eating in France this week. Check me out.
Yeah, so that was @MLMorgan_, right?
Yes, @MLMorgan_.
Perfect.
And Kirsten, where can people find you?
entirely too many places. So you can catch me on the Post Show Recaps Bridgerton feed, breaking down season 2 of Bridgerton. We're almost done, but it's been really fun so far. The last episode that dropped, we had Mike Bloom as a guest, and then the next one coming out, we'll have Asia Welch on it. So a lot of great talent over on the Post Show Recaps Bridgerton feed. You can also catch me talking about Riverdale every week with Frail Mary over on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K. Streaming on Twitch, twitch.tv/KirstenSaidWhat, as well as on all social media at KirstenSaidWhat. And there will be another announcement soon, but I'm not yet allowed to give the full deets. So just keep your eye out for something new that's coming. But that is all for Temptation Island. Of course, as Maggie said, she will not be back next week, but I will be. And we will break down the next episode of Temptation Island. So we'll see you next time.
Bye.